shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. And you can get a backstage pass and watch our live streaming video of the show each and every night. Also, we're on Twitter at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. If you hashtag BSP, you are in the running for a free year of access to our website. If you hashtag BSP at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. If you go over and like our fan page at Facebook, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, P-H-A-N-S, fans, then you're also in the running for one free year of a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. If you'd like to follow my personal Twitter account, that's twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. Bobby Dooley is over there. Who else is over there? But you are, Bud, right?
Yeah, I got a Twitter account, and also the Milwaukee Lions does. That's a new one.
Yeah, the Milwaukee Lions Twitter account, which, by the way, on Sunday at 11 Pacific time, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Central time, the Milwaukee Lions live on Phil TV and HD, the audio of the Wang Radio broadcast of their game at home against the Tucson Tequila, that kickoff at 1 o'clock Central, 11 a.m. Pacific, with Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison, that at Phil TV and HD on our website and on the Wang Radio Milwaukee Lion Network. Now, I was going to get, I don't want to get too involved. We'll go back to the New York City situation. We had Chris Norton, who was hanging on very patiently this evening, who wanted to talk with us about a situation that has also erupted here in Los Angeles, though not near as serious as what the people of New York were dealing with today. And that is the fact that a syphilis outbreak among porn actors could trigger a filming shutdown. And we do have Chris Norton on the line with us here from the San Fernando Valley. Chris, good evening.
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir.
So what do you know about this?
Well, what I do know about this situation is primarily the following thing is that there was an actor, I think, who had identified himself to people on set as having, as he had, you know, either then, currently, or was most likely probably had, syphilis, okay, tragically, and he...
Now, that was a little confusing. What did he say? Was he saying that...
Well, he told the people he's working for, basically, that he has syphilis. But, as it turns out, he said later he was kidding. And I don't know whether or not that's, that's too cool or anything, but...
Well, did he have syphilis?
I don't know, but what was subsequently discovered was that there were other actors in the adult film business in Los Angeles, and now also we find out that in Prague and Budapest and I think St. Petersburg, Florida. Because it's in St. Petersburg.
What? Give me the cities again. This is Europe?
Yeah, in Europe they had...
St. Petersburg, Russia.
Well, I've never heard... I mean, it says that Budapest, it says Prague, it says St. Petersburg.
What is it, St. Petersburg?
No, St. Petersburg is what you said. I'd say what you said.
Yeah, that would be Russia, man. That's not Florida, that's Russia.
That's... Okay, I didn't know that. So that's...
Yeah, if they said it's Europe, it's not going to be Florida. So what happened...
Well, there's a high incidence of adult film actors and actresses in those three cities who also have, most likely have syphilis, you know. So this is really shut down, I think, and it's very tragic, you know, shut down sex industry, or could shut down sex industry. There's been no, the talk right now is that they might shut down sex scenes, that they might go and continue to shoot non-set scenes until they get a green light to shoot a set scene, you know. But I was talking to my sister, who is she's my manager mostly, and
now I want to just let people know. Are you acting in adult films?
I am. I'm also doing some producing, associate producing, as well as I got my fingers in a lot. Well, I better not say. I mean, could I say
what?
I got my fingers in a lot of pies. I was just,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I do. I have my finger in a lot of pies. I have more than one finger in a lot of pies. I said I have my finger in a lot of pies. I have fingers in pies.
And okay, I got it, man. So you're doing an awful lot. You're doing a lot of different things.
Yes, sir. And so I was talking to my sister, and she was telling me.
And who? What is your sister's name?
Sicily.
It's Sicily.
Yes, sir. And Sicily, she's my sister, and she said that the Seth scenes are probably not going to be shot, and they will go to nonsense. And I said to Sicily, and I said to Sarah, who's the production assistant, that I can do the nonsense, you know, because...
Okay, I understand it. So I want to move this on a little bit, Chris, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you the story that I hear: syphilis outbreak among porn actors could trigger a film shutdown. Do you have the story in front of you there?
Yes, sir. You fast it to me. I got the fast. Okay, and when you fast it to me, and then the assistant came over with a fast.
And your assistant came over with your facts.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Story as I see it here says four more K. Cases syphilis has been.
Let me read it. Four more cases of syphilis have been found in an investigation of an outbreak among porn performers, bringing the total to nine.
Yeah, Mr. Ernie, can I just say one thing? I very much resent them calling us porn performers when in fact we are adult film. And I wish they'd say that we're adult film actors, you know.
Yes, sir. I understand that. It's a point of professional pride. Porn, it seems, it's a shorthand. You just have to kind of, it goes with the territory, it seems.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, it bringing to nine the discovery of more cases is likely, LA County's top health official said. Five cases were reported last week, causing a trade group for the multi-billion dollar industry to call for a halt in filming to prevent the spread of the disease. And they're quoting here Dr. Jonathan Fielding. So how do you feel about that as somebody who does at least part-time perform in these films?
Well, as I was saying, Mr. Henry, I was talking to one of the assistants, and the assistant said, if I can do nonsense, all right, and...
Non-sex.
Non-nonsense, yes, sir. And I said to her that I'm known for... I don't know if you know the actor Rocco Siffredi.
Who?
Rocco Siffredi.
Rocco Siffredi. No, I don't.
Rocco Siffredi is the one who had first ripped a lid off of saying that there was syphilis in Prague, in Budapest, and in...
What is the city, the second city?
Budapest. Yeah.
Okay, and what was the other city?
St. Petersburg. And he said that in Budapest and St. Petersburg, there was a lot of syphilis. So I got to tell you, I will continue work, Mr. Henry, if I do nonsense scenes. But I'm known for my sex. I'm known for my sexuality.
Yeah, but I would imagine every actor is known for their sexuality.
Yeah, but I, as a male actor, the females are. But as male actors, you really compete with each other about who is sexier, who projects the sexuality, and who is sex melds together with the female sex. See? So
your decision is you'll continue to work in non-sex scenes. You will not do sex scenes.
Not now. I mean, I did talk to my sister. She's also my sister's also an assistant on some of these, Sicily.
And okay, thanks, Chris.
Well, wait a minute. I want to ask you about Mississippi.
What happened?
He's driving me ape with that. I had to just. So Chris Norton, a young actor in the adult film business, will not do any more.
You said he's going to do nonsense.
Non-sex.
I mean, yeah, non-sex.
Scenes. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. A little bit more about the events in New York today coming up. after these messages. Don't forget, philhendryshow.com. And we had, oh yeah, another podcast dropping today, episode 35. Hit the podcast banner on the homepage and get yourself a download.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Where were we here? As I was looking at the coverage of the shooting today in New York, and you know, I gave you my opinion about the New York Times putting that that photograph. I don't know whether it was on the front page. It was prominently placed. It was a picture of the victim who had been murdered in cold blood with shots pumped into his head, and the man is laying there with this river of blood pouring down from his head into the gutter, and this is the picture that the vaunted New York Times puts in its newspaper. And, you know, I understand it's a hardball world, New York Times, and you got to compete with all the scumbags out there, and everybody is basically putting everything online. I mean, and but it isn't just journalists. If some guy is a dirtbag that works in a hospital, some guy is some undereducated, mental deficient who works as a hospital or an ambulance attendant, somebody who, for whatever reason, was given the keys to photographs, and this guy probably couldn't get hired to make a chili dog at their wiener schnitzel, you know. So these are the people that are the new journalists. You know, these are the people that are the new journalists. These are people without, they have no concern at all for the families of these people. All they care about is their moment in the sun. Like, you know, Ricky Gervais was saying on that, on Christian O'Connell's show. We keep quoting it because he's right. He said that, infamy has replaced fame. It doesn't matter anymore, so long as you're well-known. So if you are infamous, that's good enough. It used to be that fame was important, but now infamy is, that's okay. What I'm afraid a lot of those people don't get is that your infamy will outlive your tolerance for being infamous. You will say, that's okay, because I want to get my 15 minutes. I don't mind being infamous. But then when your 15 minutes goes away and you're still a piece of garbage, you may not like that, because people are going to still look at you as what you are, you know, just a piece of trash. You know, amateurism is replacing professionalism. That much, you know, has been pretty obvious for a long time. So the New York Times is going to get right down there in the dirt. You know,
I don't understand what's wrong with that.
What's wrong with it? You know, this guy's got a family, maybe. Maybe he's got friends. Maybe he's got people that care about him, you know.
All right, well, don't yell about it.
I'm yelling so you'll get it. Here's a guy that it was the victim. And you might think, if you were thinking this way, wow, you know, maybe this guy's relatives, his family, just the memory of this man, maybe we can spare that, because he didn't do anything other than go to work one day. But it was too much of a temptation for the New York Times, because they've had their ass kicked in just about every area of the news business lately. I understand they don't like being the butt of so many jokes. I understand that, you know, this, that, and something else. The New York Times is struggling. They're trying to figure out, how do we survive in the world of the Huffington Post and so many other things. The big city media is changing. We weren't ready for it. We weren't thinking. We were stupid like everybody else. And now we got to get up to speed, and we just don't understand. You know, it's happening everywhere. It's happening in my business. I told you guys last night. You know, we had a very fruitful meeting ourselves this week, and it was about things that we understand and things that we do: podcasting, broadcasting, internet radio, internet entertainment delivery, internet information delivery, platforms that provide you know, a different space for different things. This is the world that I live in right now. Unfortunately, the business that I have been in traditionally, radio, they're getting left further and further in the dust. You know, like I said, so you go to New York and go to a talk radio convention, and it's a bunch of old guys tearing their hair out, all of a sudden trying to figure out how the hell they're going to compete. Well, how do I get a website and, you know? I'm reading people now who are in radio, who are just now starting to talk about social media. Now. Just now, they're saying, well, how do I do that? You know, do I get a, what do I do? Do I get the Twitter, the tweet, the tweetster?
Yeah, they want to know what it's called, man.
Yeah, I got to get me a tweeter, right? Well, yeah, man, but, you know, what? How about that face something? What do you do? My face?
Yeah, you'll probably say, you park it on my face.
Shut up.
Park it on my face.
All right.
Park it on my Facebook.
Oh. Anyway.
Ha-ha.
I got to get me some of that Facebook, don't I? So these cats are like gone, man. How do I, you know, I don't understand, you know. I got to, you, man, give it up, Jack. I'm making my, like I said, you know, I make my living off of the internet. I mean, if I, thank God, I mean, thank God. You know, we kept our subscription model in place when we left Premier and we came over here. Thank God we did that because that's our income now. Radio? You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. I wish somebody in radio was making money. No. Uh-uh. Now you got the New York Times. They're having the problem that the radio business is having. Jesus, we had our thumb parked up our ass for so long, and we didn't, you know, we were sitting around talking about how great we were, and we still thought it was the 1980s. And we went over there to the money drawer, and oh my God, there's no money left. What happened? It used to be a money tree. Went out to the money tree in the backyard. The money tree in the backyard's gone. What happened to the money tree? It died, man. So the New York Times, like any desperate, pathetic case in this discussion we're having, is just trailing right along with the rest of the news hounds, trying to find ways to keep people interested in their tired, tired, tired product. And when I say that, New York Times, believe me, that hurts me more than it may hurt you, or if it hurts you at all. Because, you know, there's so many other newspapers that are in, and it's got nothing to do with your politics, because I prefer to read you over any other New York paper. I do. But I think that this is a low blow here, man. This is a man who was a victim. He wasn't, he didn't ask for this. And you put a picture of this poor man where God knows who, kids, wife, whoever is going to look at this stuff, and you guys do. I know why you did it. You did it because you got to, you know, you're desperate. You're desperate to make somebody give a damn about your newspaper. You're desperate to have somebody take a look at your ridiculous, asinine paper and say, oh, wow, I think I'll read the New York Times today, man. It's been so long since I've done something with it other than wipe my ass. It's like Mayor Bloomberg. Like Mayor Bloomberg, all these other guys are getting all this news, man. Everybody's talking about Obama, Obama, Obama. Everybody was talking about Giuliani, Giuliani, Giuliani. Everybody's talking about this. Nobody's talking about me. I got to get make some news, man. I better get up there in front of the microphone, you know, and say something like I usually do, stupid and irrelevant.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about, hey, man, there's too many guns, man.
Yeah, yeah. But you got a safe city there, Mr. Mayor. I want everybody to know that, you know, New York is a very safe city, but yeah, there's too many guns, and a guy got his brains blown out in front of the Empire State Building, but hey, it's a safe city, but hey, you know, I'll tell you what, man, how you can keep those balls in the air, I gotta hand it to you.
Yeah, he's used to ball handling.
All right, okay. Used to ball handling.
Mayor Bloomberg does more ball handling than... You
ripped off Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. I heard that line.
All right, easy, will you? God, he's right, bud.
No, he's not. I
heard that line in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, too.
Yeah, I told you. Well, they hadn't used it in a long time.
No, they haven't used it in a long time because they made the movie way back when. What makes you think they're going to use it since then? The movie's already made, you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The guy that said it was John Candy. God rest his soul. All right. Here is a poll. Was the Times right to run such a graphic photo? Vote. And I guess if I vote, then I get to see the results. Now, let me ask you this question. These are always very loaded questions, because when you ask it of your... If I was to go into a crowd of Phil Hendry fans and ask them, do you think Phil's handsome? I bet you anything, most of them would say yes, even though they'd be lying through their teeth, because they don't want to hurt my feelings. Yeah, look at it. 62% said yes, because those are New York Times readers. Why don't you ask everybody in the city of New York if you were right to run that photo? I got a better idea, New York. All right, New York Times, what's your circulation like these days? Nobody buying the paper? There's your vote. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Do that again, Frank. No, never mind. 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry Show here as we continue speaking to you and us and all of us. Don't forget, we have the Milwaukee Lions at 1 o'clock Central Time on Sunday on philhendryshow.com, Phil TV and HD section. You have to have a backstage pass, otherwise you are not going to be able to access the game. With a backstage pass, though, you will be able to access the game. Thanks to Chris Norton for joining us. He was mentioning Rocco Siffredi, who is a porn actor in Europe. And Mr. Siffredi talked to a news service in Europe on Friday, and he said that there were 89 to 100 adult performers currently infected with syphilis in three different Eastern European cities where porn is regularly shot: Budapest, Hungary; Prague, the Czech Republic; and St. Petersburg, Russia. We have a lot of positives for syphilis. We don't really know where this came from, but I'm pretty sure it came from Russia before it came to Budapest in July, said the 27-year-old veteran performer director, whose namesake production company is based in Budapest and distributed by Evil Angel in the U.S. That was a very nice little plug you gave, Mr. Siffredi, xbiz.com, xbiz.com.
Yeah, they're trying to get the business going.
Yeah, but I don't know how much of this is all that objective if the writer of the news piece is also doing a little plug-a-roo. But I guess that's, you know...
What do you mean, a plug-a-roo?
He's giving the guy, he's promoting the guy's company. I mean, you know, that's cool. Siffredi said he estimates about half or more than 40 of the infected performers live in Budapest.
What's the deal with Budapest?
I don't know. Most of the big-name girls, they all have syphilis, nearly all of them. Boy, that's fantastic, Rocco. All right. You know...
Now, if you want to work for that guy, man, you go to work for Rocco Siffredi, you're going to be all jacked up.
No kidding, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Rocco, you know, you might want to keep a lid on it. You know, all you got to do is just say, yes, we have a problem. But this guy is right out front with all this stuff, this Mr. Siffredi. He estimates half or more than 40 of the infected performers live in Budapest, and he happens to work there himself. Most of the big-name girls, all of these big stars, yeah, they all got it. The adult production community in Budapest this week extended its voluntary moratorium on shooting films through September the 3rd due to the outbreak. Voluntary? So what the hell's the story in Budapest, as you call it, bud?
What do you mean?
Well, why don't they? Don't they have a health department in Budapest?
No, man, that was like in Tinker Taylor, Sailor Taylor. Oh, I forget the name of that thing. Tinker Taylor.
No, shut up! Because when you guys go through this, what? What about it?
Well, in that movie, they was in Budapest, and they were going to kidnap the.
They're gonna get a general.
Yeah, and so he was sitting there at the beginning of the movie, right?
Yeah, what has this got to do with the porn business, man?
Well, I mean, they're no porn in that, right?
No, well, I don't know, man. He was going to meet with a guy. It could be a porn producer or something.
It was I saw the movie, too. Hello? It was a general.
Well, yeah, general of what?
Bud, you cracked me up.
No, seriously, man. I mean...
Look at you clowns. Will you listen to me for 5 seconds?
You never... never believe us. You always...
Oh, would you stop? You jackasses, I'm asking you about porn, and you're bringing up Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is the name of it, by the way. Not Tinker Tailor Taylor Sailor, or whatever the hell it is you're trying to say. Okay?
Yeah.
What are you bawling about?
Yeah, every time we try to say something, all you ever do is tell shut up.
Because you're an idiot half the time, man. That's why. I'm trying to tell you, in that movie, in the book that was written by another guy, some cat in England, some dude that writes spy novels, wrote it long before there was a big burgeoning porn business in Budapest. The only thing going on in Budapest back when this guy wrote the book was a bunch of commies were running around over there, okay?
Well, I mean, they don't have no porn there then?
Hey, Robert, you know, come on, man. Would you guys get serious for a second here?
No, I am.
Okay, then think about it, man. He ain't talking about the porn business when they were commies. He's talking about it right now.
No, I mean Tinker Tailor.
Tinker Tailor, dude, if you watch the movie, was about in the early 70s.
It was?
Yes, you jackass. You didn't know that?
How are we supposed to know that?
Because there were commies over there, man. There ain't no commies there anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There ain't been any commies in Budapest since the whole thing came down, man. What was it, 1991, right?
Yeah, when they bust up the wall. Well.
No, not well, bud. I mean, every review of that movie, they said it was all about the 1970s. The height of the Cold War is what they were talking about. And when that guy at the beginning of the movie goes to Budapest, Jack, that place is a commie-run country, man. Hungary was communist. And so was Czechoslovakia, thank you very much.
How'd they all get big? I don't understand how they all get big commies.
Because the Russian army took them over, man. It's a long story. It's World War II. But the whole thing, Poland, all of them. And when that guy get in the movie, was he there to kidnap a porn producer?
Well, that would have been more interesting.
Yeah, it would have been.
Hey, man, I don't understand. That guy he was talking to looked like he weighed about 110 pounds. And
that wasn't the general, man.
No, that wasn't him. They were waiting for the guy.
That wasn't? No, that wasn't the general he's going to kidnap. Remember he said, when is your friend going to arrive? He goes, oh, she should be along here shortly. That wasn't him.
Well, who's that guy?
Some cat that he thought was a double agent or a confidential informer who was going to work with him. But the guy was actually, he was working for the communist government. So he got betrayed. God, man. You know, I thought you guys watched that movie.
Anyway, well, okay, so it's not Tinker Tailor.
It ain't got nothing to do with Tinker Tailor. This is Budapest today. The thing that's cracking me up about this, and I shouldn't say cracking me up, but here is a former prominent and current prominent actor in adult films. He is also a guy that is a producer director now, Rocco Siffredi. And this dude is talking with a porn or an adult film business publication website talking about how half of the big name girls in Budapest have syphilis. And most of the big name girls have syphilis, nearly all of them. Half or more than 40 of the infective performers in Europe live in Budapest. This is a city that he works in. And he's basically just saying, yeah, Budapest, my town, just crawling with syphilis. You know.
Man, that guy's, Doc said nobody worked there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Usually you try to keep a lid on some of this information. I mean, you'll stop production, you'll stop working, and you'll say, well, you know, we got a problem, and we're going to clean it up, and then we're going to get back to work. But, you know.
Yeah, call that work. That can't possibly be work.
I know, man. That cracks me up to say that's work.
Why don't you think it's work?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, right.
Well, look, I'm not going to get into a big discussion with you, all right? I won't get into a discussion about how, whether it's moral.
I don't care. I watch porn.
Yeah, I know you do, but I'm just saying for you guys to think about that one, all right? Because what you guys think is just playtime at the movie-making corral, it could very well be work, all right? It's a physical job. It is a long day. They're shooting many, many hours. You can't imagine that would get difficult?
Are you kidding me, man? All these slamming-looking ladies and everything?
Yeah, you got your face in all of that early morning.
All right, bud.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so Siffredi here is saying everyone is waiting to see who's going to make a decision about what. Now they have moved the deadline to September the 3rd. Everyone should make a new test. And this is a voluntary moratorium. They must be out of their minds. I mean, why don't you guys just shut it down? Why don't you get the health authorities in there to shut this thing down? Maybe because of their commie background, they think that every time they tell anybody anything, if the people are going to jump them like, hey, man, this isn't, you know, the old days. So Freddie said it was his understanding that most of the infected performers there were receiving injections, but according to the information that's been disseminated there, Hungarian performers must wait at least 2 months before returning to work because they may still be able to transmit the disease. Here, you can catch it even if you get the treatment. For 2 months, you're always positive, Siffredi said, noting he is aware that in Los Angeles, someone who receives an injection is said to no longer be contagious after 10 days. But he doesn't understand why the time windows are so far apart. In the U.S., it's 10 days, but here it's 60 days. I'm trying to figure out what is the real thing. In the end of the story, nobody can work. He said he estimates 89 to 100 infected actually is from around 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now, there you go.
Well, just want to give that information in case there's anybody working a porn business and everything like that.
Yes, that's right. Thank you.
Well, you don't think?
No, you know, what a man. I mean, we're not exactly talking. The only reason why we do a story like this is for the, what do you call it, the vicarious kick, you know. But people, it ain't affecting me, you, or anybody else, you know. And if you want it to be a porn actor, bud, then you should probably just pursue that, you know.
Well, I'd like to, but I'm kind of ugly.
Well, that much you got right, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show online at philhenryshow.com. And also a new podcast, and it's a Milwaukee Lion podcast. Is that right, Robert?
Yeah, it's a preseason game.
Oh, there's a new free Phil Henry podcast to drop today. Episode 35 is last Sunday's Milwaukee Lion Utah preseason game. So you can check that out. And if you like that, man, there are more Lion games in our Milwaukee Lion archive. All right, 877-876-7445. We're online here at philhenryshow.com. And we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, our news and information hour. This is what I was mentioning early on, and we are going to get to it here. Apple's $1 billion verdict may lead to Samsung sales ban. This is big news. Big, 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 big news. If you're a Samsung product owner, if you're an Apple owner, it's big news for Apple. Apple won a $1 billion judgment from Samsung today. And they won it because the judge and jury agreed that Apple, on some level, had its patents, plural, appropriated or infringed upon by Samsung. Apple had claimed in their lawsuit that Samsung had transgressed, basically, into areas that Apple clearly had patents on. Both the interior, the internals of the phone, and also the design of the phone. They won. Part of the judgment was that Samsung had appropriated Apple's patent on something called the phone dress, which is the phone's design. But the bottom line is this, and this is the big end to this thing. They won more than $1 billion after the jury found Samsung infringed 6 of 7 patents for its mobile devices in a verdict that may lead to a ban on U.S. sales of handheld electronics by Samsung. Apple wants Samsung's handheld electronics banned across the United States. The judge is going to take it up on September the 20th. The judge can ban those products she deems violate Apple's rights. Now, they won less than half of what they sought in damages, which is generally the way it goes anyway. You always ask for more than you think you're going to get. In the first lawsuit to go before a U.S. jury in the fight to dominate the global smartphone market, though U.S. District Judge Lucy Koh may later triple the damages against Samsung under federal law. She has that right. She has that flexibility. Koh, who presided over the four-week trial, scheduled a hearing next month to consider Apple's request to make permanent a ban on U.S. sales of Samsung devices, including its Galaxy Tab 10.1 computer. So this goes beyond the phones.
Yeah, I told you. They're talking about everything.
Wow. As well as to extend the ban to other Samsung products. Well, man, I mean, that's heavy. Now, if you're caught and you are consciously appropriating somebody's patent, now the company says, I don't want them to do it. They have no right to do business in the United States. Look what they did. 6 of 7 of our patents. We think that this is a reasonable request, Your Honor, that you keep these people out of the U.S. marketplace. Their track record is very well known. Violating a patent, infringing on patents, copyrights, trademarks, very, very serious for the people who own those rights. Very serious, and I can tell you, as a copyright holder, you want to see those people gutted and drained like one of Ed Gein's victims. Thank you.
Hey!
Man, you can't be that bad, man.
All right, it's not that bad, but anyway. But am I? Forget about Phil Henry. Look at what Apple's doing. You think I'm going overboard? You think I'm crazy? Some people think I'm nuts when it comes to protecting copyrights, you know, like on our work, on our shows. Look at Apple. They want to ban Samsung from doing business in the United States. Now, I asked my good, close, personal friend, Dan Northcraft, who is our technical director on our show. I said, Dan, do you have a Samsung product? And he says, yes, I do. I said, yeah, he says, I got a phone. He says, I got it, I've had it, and I love it. And I said, well, guess what? You better hold on to it because it's going to be a collector's item. You will have something that I swear to God, Dan, hang on to that thing. I don't know if you'll be able to. It'll be like owning a Packard or something, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, like an Indian motorcycle or something.
Yeah. It'll be like owning one of those old Indians. They don't make them anymore, but I damn sure love my Samsung. And why do you? So I guess they infringed on a copyright.
Yeah, they finally did it, man. The bull haircuts finally stepped over the line.
Watch it with the bull haircut thing, bud.
Well, I mean, that is.
He's right, man. Those are Koreans.
All right. You don't have to go down the bull haircut route.
Yeah. I knew it, though, because my grandfather used to say, you know, even though there's no more war and everything, bull haircut, he'll cut you.
You knock it off with that, bud, okay?
Sorry.
God, man. Bowl haircut, he'll cut you.
Yeah, man, I'm not screwed all that, you know.
Just like that guy Steve Bozell, I'll cut you. Remember that?
Yeah, he's an idiot. Get him on the phone, will you? If he doesn't call, because he listens to every show religiously, like I'm going to be talking about him. He just knows it, so he needs to, you know, hang with us.
No, I'll try and call him up.
Call him up, because... Is that... Hey, Steve?
I was listening to you, and I was going to call you, and I just got the ring from Bud, so I went ahead and I called you, and I did call you, but I knew Bud. I'd heard you say for Bud to call you.
And by the way, it sounds to me like you're at your pond.
No, sir, I'm not at my pond. I'm out near our marsh. We have a little marsh where I get a great deal of peace, and I can come out here and meditate. But I wanted to call you because I had heard... that you had said, or Bud had said, of what I don't say it's my copyright, but I am known by I'll cut you, and...
Well, you said that one night to your son, and it became sort of a standard thing, you know?
Yes, sir, I understand that. I did not intend for it to be. I did not intend for it to be at all. And
well, you were... It was like a line from the movie Serpico, wasn't it?
When Steve Jr. was watching the TV that night, and he went across the channel, I'm a very big, and I'm not afraid to admit it, I'm a very big Carrot Top fan, and he came across the channel of Carrot Top, and I said, man, you better get it back on Carrot Top, right? I just felt that I needed to make that, I had to draw that line in the sand on him, and he said, Dad, no, I want to see this or something, I forget what it was, and I said, man, you better get that back, or I'll cut you, you know, it just came out like that. And,
no, I think it was like, I'll cut you.
Yeah, I'll cut you. And,
You were going to stab your own son.
No, I wasn't going to stab my own son. I'll cut you, as in I'll cut off the TV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's how that did it.
Well, what do you think of the Samsung ban? Because I know you have a Samsung phone.
Yeah, I think that it is a situation where I've tried to carve out my own unique personality because I, even though I'm in the construction business, I'm also, as you know, Mr. Henry, I do some stand-up comedy. And I've tried to carve my own unique personality out. With a Samsung phone, you had a fighting chance. Now I got to look like every other, you know, D-bag. Excuse my language. I didn't say douche or anything.
Yeah, that's pretty clean.
Thank you, because I told my buddy I could say that.
D-bag, yeah, that's nice.
All right. I mean, if you're making fun of me, that's okay. I don't care.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Okay, but anyway, I wanted to get a Samsung phone forevermore because I didn't want to look like just one more D-bag, just one more, you know, A-wipe or Z-wipe.
Now you're losing me. A-wipe, C-wipe, you know?
Crack wipe.
Okay, well, that's why he didn't say crack.
But I'm saying that I didn't want to look like just another D-back or Diamondback. That's baseball team.
I got to go, Steve, but thank you.
I'm all alone out at the marsh.
Okay, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. Don't forget, hit us up at philhenryshow.com on Sunday at 1 p.m. Central. It's going to be the Lions and Tucson. Until Monday, let there be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.